We love playing in front of our fans here. We are so thankful how they showed up for the last homestand and fully recognized that this is a work day, it's a school day. Shocked we got the 1 p.m. start time. Shocked. But really hoping that we continue to get the support from the fans here in Cleveland because we need it and we love it.
Shocked. I'm not shocked. The other markets involved here are Chicago, New York, L.A. Do the TV math. Chicago, New York, L.A. Yep, close to prime time as we can. Let's go. And that's why the Guardians are playing at 1 o'clock. Certainly not entertainment value.
Doesn't mean I have to like it.
No, you don't have to like it either.
Doesn't mean I have to like it.
Would Major League Baseball be better off playing two games at 5 o'clock and two games at 8 o'clock?
Probably not.
And putting them on opposing networks?
Yeah, I mean, they're already going to have it where it's going to be ESPN and ABC today. That it's going to fly back and forth between those so that they won't have to deal with overlaps or anything like that.
Yeah, I know, but still there's, you know, it's spread out so you can watch four games.
Correct.
What if you could only watch two? Would that be better for baseball? Or are they more concerned? We know they're more concerned about the TV ratings and TV viewership than they are about people in the stands.
Exactly. TV is going to tell the story in the same way that it does with the NFL. And the reason why they do things the way that they do, because TV tells the story. I don't think so. I think you're better off, if you're looking for TV ratings, I think you're better off doing it this way. But boy, it does kind of cut you short when it comes to having to start at 1 o'clock. But I guess they probably look at it and go, well, you could have the game on in the office. You know, you can have the game on the other TV, or you could put it on the TV screen small or whatever. Or, hey, subscribe to our streaming app and pay X amount a month like everything else on this planet.
The bad thing about this is I'd be stunned if there's a sellout for any of these three games just based on game time.
I'm with you.
That's tough.
It's tough to ask people to get a quick turnaround to get out of work early or to take a half day off of work or anything else involved. This game is built for college students, parents with vacation times, and retirees. Like, that's what are people who work from home. That's the other one, too, is people who work from home and can do a chunk of it from their phones.
The other aspect of this, too, Dan.
Not that there's anything wrong with being any of those things. Hell, no. We all want to become retirees.
Well, but who's going to be actually watching TV at 1 o'clock? You know, that's the other aspect of this.
People who are...
Yeah, I know.
You know, typically.
It just...
Thanks. People who want to pay three quarters attention to the job that's in front of them and a quarter of attention to the ball game.
And we appreciate that very much. Thank you very much.
All of you are heroes.
We make a living doing that.
All of you are heroes.
That's Dan Menigan. He's in for Baskin today. I'm Jeff Phelps. Stephen Vogt had his meeting with the media before the game. A couple of roster decisions that were made. The two on the starting in the pitching rotation we get, Parker Messick is not pitched in relief. And Logan Allen, they only need three starters for this. And Logan did just pitch. In theory, he could, because he'll have a bullpen day coming up, he could throw his bullpen in a game if he needed to be a long reliever. But they've chosen not to do that. I get it. I hope Logan gets it. The other one, Chase DeLauter, welcome to the major leagues. We know you've been injured all year. We know you've had about 150 minor league at-bats. We know it hasn't worked out since you've been here. Hope that foot's okay. You're on the playoff roster.
And it's been, apparently they decided to make this decision. And the first question Stephen Vogt was asked, of course, is, hey, what's the reason for adding Chase DeLauter?
When we looked at a bat, Chase was healthy and he's the best bat we have available to us. So we thought it'd be a good idea to get him on the roster. Chase has been working. He's been staying active and ready. And, you know, we felt like it was an impact bat that we could add and we're going to go for it.
It's not as if they've brought up guys from the minors who are hitting 350 all year. You're bringing up...
It's valid.
I mean, look at all the guys you brought up. I mean, George Valera hasn't done anything in the minors this year, but highly thought of prospect who had been injured like crazy, and they just thought, well, okay, let's bring up George. And George has been pretty good.
He's hit done a couple out when needed him to.
I mean, think about it, though. You got George Valera, you got Jonathan Rodriguez, who was just phenomenal in the minors last year, but really hasn't done anything in the majors. You got John Kenzie Noel, who's going to play some first base today. And John Kenzie, fun last year, not a good season. Petey Halpin, who just came up and made his major league debut. Hi, welcome to the pennant race. We have to win. You're in center field. And now today you bring up Chase DeLauder. Hi, it's a playoff series. If we don't win two of these, we're done. Good luck. Hope we need you.
But the thing is, what DeLauder truly brings to the table. And if he is healthy,
on the left side,
if he is healthy, what he could do. I mean, this is a guy who this season in the minors, he hit .264. He had a .379 on base percentage, super patient, can work walks, all that kind of stuff, at a .473 slug. And not to mention a pretty good glove in right field. The bummer of it, he just gets hurt all the time. Yeah. But boy, if he is healthy, Stephen Vogt knows this and is really impressed. And especially, what can Chase DeLauder do?
Hit it, Jax.
We really haven't seen him since spring of 24 with us, so we've got a lot we need to work through, but we're excited for Chase. It's been a long time coming for him to make his debut, so really excited to have him with us.
Okay. Would you be surprised if he plays?
No, I would be. No.
Now, I say that knowing that Stephen Vogt, when guys have come up, he's just played him.
Yep. That's why.
Yeah.
That's the number one reason.
He's just played him.
All season long.
Petey Halpin, we need the win. You're in center.
Yeah, exactly. Not only that, but hey, you're getting a pinch hit at bat right here. You're fast as all get out. So my advice to you is don't hit it past the pitcher's mound. Go. That's how this team has been. There have been no kid gloves for anybody who makes the major league roster. There has been no special circumstances. There has been nothing. It's been, hey, welcome to the ball club. Your uniform's over there. Your locker's over there. And we'll need you in the fifth. Like, I would not be shocked if today we see Chase DeLauder in right field at some point. Just because, what's to stop them? They've never, ever, ever this season have been careful about when they put somebody in. This isn't the Browns quarterback situation where we're looking at this and going, okay, maybe you don't want to start him against a Brian Flores defense in Minnesota. The Guardians have been like, I don't care who you're starting against. Get out there. Go get a hit. We need you. Like, there has been no hesitation in any of these. And so, yeah, Chase DeLauder's in right field, Jeff. I'm not shocked. Be like, yeah, hashtag guards ball. Get cooking.
I get that. And if you look at who they're playing, you could make the argument that DeLauder's better than some of the guys that are out there, even though he's never played in the major leagues. Because the lineup, to quote John Smoltz the other day, I don't think I've ever seen so many batting averages that start with a one. And then I think he followed it up with, yet here they are.
It's baffling. I will.
It's been so much fun.
It's baffling. It's so much fun. It has basically made it like I just, again, want to rip everything in half and throw it behind. And like, I could go down every single advanced metric you could possibly think of. We could pull out acronyms that you were 99% sure were a part of the government before I started them when it came to, you know, Fangraphs. Like, we could go down this line and show every way that this team cannot hit water if it fell out of a boat. And yet here we are. Like, and yet here they are in this playoff series, and yet here they are in this situation, and we're all looking at each other going, hey, this is great. Let's go. Let's see what happens. I don't know. The morning show brought this up. Do you see pressure on either side of these, whether it's the Tigers who are coming in as the wild card team that is coming in here on a three-game series going, all right, let's see what this looks like, or even the Guardian side winning this? Do you think one of these teams even has pressure on them, or is this two teams that have thrown their hands up in the air and went, we're not supposed to be here. Let's go.
You might not like my answer to this one.
There are very few answers you've ever given me I've liked.
My point exactly. It's this. You hate it. I hate it. I hate the three-game series.
Right.
You played 162 games, for God's sake. If you deserve to be in the postseason, then you deserve a real chance. I don't think either team has pressure here because I kind of view it this way. Okay, you're getting to play some extra baseball right now. And then if you win this, you get to go to the playoffs. You know what I mean? I know this is the playoffs. I know that. But it's a three-game series, Dan. Anything mm-hmm. can happen in a three-game series. And so for that reason, I think they're both just out there and it's like, well, let's let her rip. Let's see what we have. And then if they win, then they get to really go to the playoffs. Does that make any sense?
It makes a ton of sense. It's the same way, like, It's the same way I feel with this series, where it's like, okay, if Scooble and Jack Flaherty go out and pitch really well,
well, you're in trouble.
You're in trouble.
Yeah.
If Bybee and Williams go out,
they're very capable of doing that.
If Bybee and Williams go out and throw really well, you're in trouble. If you're the Dodgers, like, and I know that's the 10 o'clock game where all of you are going to have toothpicks on your eyelids, or at least putting the kettle out of coffee to try to get yourself there. If Ashby and Hunter Green pitch really well, the Dodgers might be on the outside looking in.
Yeah.
This three-game series thing is just such a dice roll that I'm kind of with you, where it's like,
it's become a tournament rather than, I think, a championship.
Right.
You know, Discoverer or whatever you want to call it.
You're never, this probably isn't the day to say this, but what the heck, we're here. In a perfect world, after playing 162 games, you would think that we would walk out with a champion after 162 games.
Yeah.
And just go, here you go. The marathon has been far enough.
Well done.
Here in the States, we do playoffs. You know, we're all about this whole thing of, okay, you got to win a best of seven. You got to win a best of five. You got to figure that out. But it's like, I played 162 games. And I know the answer to this is win more, which,
I didn't mind, because that's where my mindset is too. I didn't mind two divisions. You know, I liked it back in the day. You played a lot of games. You won the most games. That's the best team. And when they split up into more divisions, okay, you got three champs and then you got one wild card. I could live with that.
Yeah.
Adding two more wild cards just dilutes the whole thing so much. And I think it really works against the teams that had a really nice regular season. You know, because all of a sudden it's like, well, we won fill in the blank number of games in the regular season. We have the first or second best record in the league. Now I've got to go out and beat this team that barely got into the playoffs and doesn't have a very good record. And I only they could win two games in a row and I'm done. I understand it from a TV standpoint. I understand it from making the end of the regular season more exciting, because it was. It was. I just don't think it's right.
I understand it from I want as many teams to continue to play good baseball through the end of September point. I get it from that too. But I am with you. There are so many variables that now come into this that it's ridiculous. You know, you are now in a place where two hot starting pitchers, three hot bullpen guys, and two hot hitters coming from any of the, what are we at now, six for each? So 12 teams can win this whole thing. We're in a world where 2 years ago, the Texas Rangers won the World Series against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Both of them were wild card teams.
Yeah.
We are in this world where the Washington Nationals won a World Series in 2019, and they deserved every last bit of it, but they won it because they had Rendon, they had Harper, they had Trey Turner that were hot at that point, they had Scherzer, they had Strasburg who were throwing their tails off then. I mean, we've added so many variables into this now that it really opens the door to anybody. It's part of the reason why if we're sitting here 2 weeks from now talking Guards baseball, Jeff, I wouldn't be shocked. Why?
Because yeah,
it means two guys caught fire besides Jose Ramirez. Starting pitching is cooking and the bullpen's cooking. And it's like, okay, great. Here we are. Why? Because it's all a dice roll.
When we get to serious stuff, we got a go-to guy. And that go-to guy joins us on the fan hotline right now. He is the former first baseman, former designated hitter for your Cleveland Indians. He's Mr. Travis Hafner, the finest little league coach in the entire state of Florida. Hello, Travis.
What's happening, Travis?
Man, what an introduction. That was fantastic. How are you guys?
I thought you might like that one.
Heck, you got a whole section named after you. May as well have a good introduction going.
We're a little surprised. You know why? Because we're sitting here on September 30th and we're talking about a playoff series for your former team that was 15 and a half games out earlier this season. Travis, this is nuts.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. I'm sure you've all seen it was like less than a 1% chance, I think, to win the division. So just a credit to them for not giving up and showing up every day, playing hard. And it's been pretty incredible to watch, and we got some good momentum heading into the postseason, so I'm excited to see how this week plays out.
So take us into the locker room. Do you feel a difference from a regular season run-of-the-mill playoff game to then game one in the playoffs? What does that feel like? Is there any difference whatsoever?
I mean, I think you just feel the weight of it. Like, you kind of know what's at stake. and the playoffs get started. You know, it's just more intense. Every pitch is intense, and you know, it's just something really exciting to be a part of, and the fans are really into it, so it's an incredible experience.
Is it tougher to hit in the postseason, Travis? And what changes, particularly, if anything, for a guy who steps into the batter's box?
Well, you're typically facing the best pitchers on the best teams. So you're not really facing four and five starters. You're not really facing the middle relievers anymore. So you're kind of facing, like, mainly the best pitchers. And, you know, the scouting gets pretty intense, so they're going to lock in pretty good. And, there's no secrets at this point, especially facing someone, you know, six times over the last 2 weeks.
Travis Hafner joining us, former Indians first baseman designated hitter on the Fan Hotline. So the style that this team plays, how much, like...
What is that style, Dan?
Oh, that's guards ball, Jeff. That's what they call it. The key of it being the ball is not allowed to leave the park at any given point and, you know, maybe not even leave the pitcher's mound and you could somehow score three runs.
Which exactly.
Is unbelievable. A style, Travis, you would have been outstanding at. What is that like when you face a team like the Cleveland Guardians who are just going to come up there and just be scrappy and do all of the little things well? How much of a pain is it to face that?
They put a lot of pressure on the defense. If they put the ball in play, they run the bases hard. They can steal bases. They can put bunts down. There's just a lot of different ways that they can beat you. And then, you know, you got your big boppers in the middle of the order. So it puts a lot of pressure on the defense. It puts a lot of pressure on the pitching staff. And, it's not easy to defend.
Travis, this one's made me chuckle. And I say that with pride, because it's made me chuckle because they're still in the postseason. Of the 15 position players on the postseason roster right now for this series against Detroit, 9 of them spent time in the minors this year, 9 of the 15. And of the outfielders, there are 7 guys, 6 of them spent time in the minors this year, and none of them on rehab assignments. They were all in the minors. How has that worked? Because, you know, obviously they've brought guys up and immediately had them play and work and be able to contribute. How do you do that?
Yeah, I think it's a credit to the organization overall, just, you know, consistent coaching up and down the minor league system. So they do a great job of developing players. And then when they do get here, they can just kind of hop right into a big league lineup and have success. So a lot goes into that. You know, it's the scouting, it's the coaching, and then the players themselves just, you know, for continuing to get better and giving themselves to be options to play on the big league roster.
Were you ever in a platoon, Travis? I can't remember.
A platoon?
Yeah, at any of your stops where you were, you know, the preferred against a righty?
Yeah, especially towards the end of my career, I would mostly hit against righties. And then would have someone else hit against lefties. And then late in games, it would, you know, be an option as well. But mostly towards the end of my career, I would hit against righties.
What's that like to have to come off the bench and, like, go in and be in that role where you're not getting at-bats every single day, especially for you when you got at-bats every single day for a good portion of your career?
Yeah, well, you got to do things that, you know, to stay sharp, whether it's watching bullpens, extra swings in the cage, and just kind of like, you know, finding ways to be sharp. And I always kind of enjoyed pinch hitting, just kind of the excitement of it where you come off the bench and it's usually in a big spot. So I've always enjoyed that.
Made you think you were Roy Hobbs, didn't it?
It did. That's a good way to put it. Yeah. I'd be in the on deck circle just thinking about, like, okay, Roy Hobbs, channel my inner Roy Hobbs right here.
Sit there with Wonder Bat.
Travis Hafner joining us, synonymous with Roy Hobbs. The thing forget all the offensive stuff. The offense hasn't been good, and yet they've been able to win games. I've loved watching this rotation, Travis, as the season went on, because, you know, at the beginning of the year, you thought, okay, the organization's great with pitching, but this crew, they're not a whole lot of guys that you think, yep, they're locked in. And yet here at the end of the year, you ended up at, and you even lost Luis Ortiz. You had seven starters, you know, so how did that happen? And what does this organization do with pitching that makes it so successful?
Yeah, I mean, they made quite a few moves this offseason. I think they really wanted to address their starting pitching depth. And a lot of these guys really developed as the season went on. And now you look up and there are, you know, six or seven pretty good options. So it'll be interesting to see how they deploy them and, you know, how long the starters go and, you know, if they piggyback other starters in and, you know, just how they manage that. So it'll be kind of fascinating to watch that.
If you're Stephen Vogt, and especially you got a guy like Chase DeLauder who has not played in a major league game and is now on the playoff roster, what are you doing to help that guy out?
How about that?
Well, I mean, I think you just try to make him as comfortable as possible. You know, not to put any more pressure, but that's I would assume that's a pretty tough spot making your big league debut in the postseason. But you know, at the same time, obviously they feel mentally he's strong enough to do that, and he can go out there and perform at a high level.
I don't know a better way to word this, Travis, so I'm just going to come out and say it: is young and dumb beneficial in the playoffs?
It is. I remember. I remember one year that the Marlins won the World Series, and they had like Josh Beckett and AJ Burnett, and they were extremely young. And they just—I think that was even their motto: like, we're too young and dumb to even know what's going on. So, not saying that's the case here. We did get some. You know, some of the guys got some good playoff experience last year, but you know, these guys are just going to be excited. They got nothing to lose, and they're going to go out there and give it their all.
You know, we hear a lot of stuff about the Indians, Guardians ownership, and you know, and you played for this crew. We also know the front office is really, really good. What type of a reputation does the organization have when you played among major league players, and now from what you hear from guys when you talk about what's going on here in Cleveland?
Yeah, I think they're very sharp. Obviously. They do a really good job in the front office, and you do see a lot of guys who have been around our front office get jobs elsewhere. So that's a really good sign that they're well-respected around the game. Same thing with coaches. Like, a lot of our coaches will go other places. And you know, I think we have a reputation, obviously, on the pitching side being extremely good, one of the best in the big leagues at developing pitching. And just player development overall is really good. So I think overall they're just very well respected in the game and, you know, able to, you know, be very productive and win a lot of games on, you know, not necessarily the highest budget out there.
Travis Hafner joining us, former Indians first baseman, designated hitter on the Fan Hotline. The other side of this that we haven't exactly focused in on, the starting pitching has been unbelievable. The hitting has happened. Is the bullpen side of things.
The hitting has happened.
I mean, do you have a better way to put it?
No, I don't, actually.
It's happened.
Like, it's there, yeah.
Yeah, it happens. The bullpen side of things, Travis, how much of a pain is it to deal with a team that has a bullpen quite like the Guardians, where there's four to five different guys that can come in and all of them can get you out in so many different ways?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of preparation on the hitters' parts and just kind of knowing like what all they throw, what patterns they get into, so that you can go up there and be very well prepared. And but yeah, with a bullpen as good as Cleveland's, like it puts more of an emphasis on trying to find ways to score early, whether that's, you know, maybe you're bunting or trying to move guys over earlier in the game than before. But it'd also be interesting too, since these are 1 o'clock games, the shadows start coming in maybe around 3:30, depending on the weather. So that's even more of an emphasis to score early.
Before we ask you any other Guardians questions, how was manager Travis Hafner this year on the Florida Little League circuit?
Great. In my opinion, probably the best one out there. Now,
non-biased.
You know what? My new gig is the assistant coach role. That's even better because I don't have to show up. I don't have to show up an hour before the games and throw all the BP. Like I can kind of come and go as I please. So
that's fantastic.
The assistant coach is where it's at.
Were you at first base? Were you coaching first?
No, it's good. Like we have, you know, the head coach coaches third, and then another coach coaches first. So I can just sit in the dugout and tell jokes and talk hitting. So it's perfect.
You're built for this. This is outstanding. This is the right role.
How old are the boys now?
My oldest is 15. The Trip is 13 and Knox is 10.
That's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. Crazy, yeah.
That's unbelievable.
So you're talking lunch?
You know what? You know what? Their school gets out at like 3:05, so they're like, "Dad, you got to sign us out so we can watch the game." And I was like, "I don't think I can sign you out to watch the baseball game," but they're adamant that I need to go sign them out. So hopefully my wife isn't listening to this, and maybe I'll do it. At least game two, maybe.
You only have a half an hour, so we'll hang up with you here in a minute. I have a very vital question I have to ask.
I mean, of course, you just say, "Hey, they were coughing this morning. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. I don't want to spread anything."
How many fantasy football leagues are you in?
Six.
Holy mackerel. How do you keep it straight? Like, this must be the biggest bunch of self-loathing and victories going on at any time.
So I just kind of watch Sundays. I don't necessarily, like, I have, like, a couple of my teams that I root for more than others. I guess it depends on, like, what your entry fee is, but I don't really, because, a lot of times it's like, I need this guy to get 12 points, but he can't get 16 because then I'll lose this other league. So I don't really get into that too much. I just kind of watch the games for the most part. And then playoff time, it gets serious.
Do you still have the league with all the former teammates?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Are you dominating?
I'm 1-3 currently.
Oh, no. Is Frank Herman on top?
Me and Frank Herman are both sitting 1-3 and tied for last place.
Oh, no.
It kind of shows you just the pure luck involved when the two best players are in last place. Sometimes it just happens.
You calling team meetings? We talking about firing coaches? What's happening here? Benching quarterbacks?
That's terrible.
Yeah, I mean, there's been some benching. There's been some guys released, bringing in some new talent off free agency. So yeah, like I don't sit around idle and let it happen.
No, something's got to change proactive in those situations.
I'm really disappointed now because the gentleman who provided us fantasy football advice on the Fan Browns pregame show years ago, Travis Hafner and Frank Herman, are 1-3. Good Lord, man. We only knew.
The other five leagues are going much better. You just happened to pick the worst one.
Well, we're very happy for you. Hey, buddy, go get the kids out of school. It's playoff time. Let's go.
Yeah, exactly.
Get on it.
Absolutely, doctors, dentist appointments, whatever you got to lie to do it.
Thanks for your time, bud.
All right, thanks for having me.
Right down the street in about, 25 minutes. First pitch, getting ready. Game one. Tigers. Guardians. Playoffs.
Let's go, baby.
Playoffs.
Let's go.
Who's going to win this series and why? 216-474-0092. Who wins and why? We start with Ray in Cleveland. Ray.
What's going on, guys?
Not much, dude. How are you?
Listen, doing well, man. I was saying off air, man, I congratulate these guys, man. I tip my hat 99 times and throw 99 roses because what we just did was outstanding. We all know that. I right now am a little worried about these kitty cats from right up the road in Detroit, man. We've had our way with these guys. And sooner or later, the numbers just say that it ain't going to happen. Man, we gave it all that we got, like the dude on Star Trek. I'm giving it all I got, Captain. But we gave it all that we had with bits and pieces. And again, they haven't shown me that they've peaked yet. They haven't shown me anything except that their foot is on the gas. But the numbers just every now and then dictates as you ascend, sooner or later you descend. I hope it ain't right now, guys. I promise you, man. I am go Guardians. And I'm holding out hope, man, but I'm a little worried.
Ray? I agree with you completely. I'm. You did a great job against them this year. Mm-hmm. You got Scooble in the critical game last time out. You got him again. Man, I think you're going to be hard-pressed to get to him today.
It's going to be a tough game today, man. He is ready. These guys are locked in. And they've got a reason to take our heads off, man. I mean, I am a true blue fan. Hey, listen, man, I actually cover these guys for another publication. Listen, I decided that they weren't doing anything, and so I gave my credential to somebody else for September.
No!
I really did, man. I've shot every game up until September. I said, hey, man, this thing's over, guys. And I let another another guy come in and do the shooting, man.
Hang in there, Ray.
Man, watching this thing go down.
Nice thing is you get to see it as a fan, which is a good time, too. You can be completely emotional throughout the entire thing.
Who wins and why?
I'm not worried about the out of gas portion of it due to the fact that it's been so many different guys that has helped to pull it. If this was they made it because Gavin Williams was unbelievable and Tanner Bibee was unbelievable and Jose Ramirez was hitting home runs, but everybody else around him was horrendous, we would have a different conversation. But it's because they've had six different starters look really good. It's because the bullpen has looked good. It's because they've had just the right amount of hitting to make this work is why I think there is faith. I take the Guardians in this series, and I think they win it in three. And the reason that I believe that is because nobody has seen Skubal more than the Cleveland Guardians have. They know what he's going to throw. They have the scouting reports. They have all that kind of stuff. They have seen Detroit's bullpen of late. Detroit's bullpen is not what it was last year. Jack Flaherty has been good, but Jack Flaherty is good for about five, six innings. Then you got to go to the bullpen there. I think the Guardians have just the right amount because I think the pitching is good enough that they don't have to worry about being in a shootout this series. I don't think they have to worry about getting into a home run derby or having to put seven on the board to be able to win some of these games. If they keep these things 3-2, 4-2, 3-1, something along those lines, the Guards can easily win this. I think Guardians in three. You?
I'm going to agree with you on that, but I'll say this. The starting pitching for the Guardians has been really the historic run, you know, the historic comeback and then the historic September by the starting pitching. I am hard pressed to think that the starting pitching will be that good for three straight games. I think there's one of these games where the Guardians are going to have to score 5 to 8 runs to win. And I don't know if they can do it. That's my hesitation. I'm going to pick the Guards, but my hesitation is I think in one game, at least one, some starting pitcher, whether it be Bibee, whether it be Gavin Williams today, whether it be Slade Ciccone in game three, somebody's going to get knocked around a little bit, and that's okay.
Oh, yeah.
That's what, you know, keep your team in the game, but I think they're going to have to score 5, 6, 7 runs to win a baseball game, and I don't know if the offense can do that.
They've done it a couple of times. I mean, what was that Texas game? They ended up having to score, nine to win that game against Texas 2 days ago. They've done it before where they're able to put just enough together. And again, that Tigers bullpen is not as good as it was last year.
If you can get to it.
Right.
If you can get to it. The Heise is with us. Hello,
Heise.
Hey. How you been, buddy?
Jeffrey? All good. I just think the key to the game is getting out of the first inning either tied or with the lead. It just seems like, that first inning, it seemed like we always give up a run or two. What is the percentage when a team's winning in the first inning? Do they have any stats on that?
I'm sure those are out there. I don't know them off the top of my head, Heise, but you're right. And especially with Skubal going, if you give that guy a lead – Gavin Williams, I think, is going to have to be good right away. If you give him a lead, give Skubal a lead, he's going to just pound the strike zone, and then you're at a disadvantage.
I know, and I just think, that first inning is key because it just seems like we give up a lot of runs in the first inning.
And what do you like in the series, Heise?
Who do I like in the series?
Yep.
If we win today, I like the Guardians. If we don't, I don't.
Okay. I get it. Take care, buddy. Good to hear from you.
All right. Be good. Adios.
That's the Heise. And as Heise will tell you, it's all about the money.
It's all about the money.
That's why they're starting at 108. And that's why, if you look at the television screen, you see a lot of empty seats. And that's a shame.
Our
fan base deserves better than that.
Yes.
That said, it was going to have to happen to one fan base. It wasn't going to happen in Chicago, New York, or L.A. That's just the reality of this situation, Dan.
I wish that they would have taken one game.
Bleachers look half full.
I wish they would have taken one game and said, Chicago, you're getting a nooner on this game. Guardians play
good for you, Chicago.
Like, I wish they would have done that. Because we all know the minute it became Yankees Red Sox, we knew where this was going.
Yeah.
It was part of the reason I honestly wanted the guards to play the Red Sox, is because at least then you would have had these stands filled, and it probably would have been the 7 o'clock game, and you wouldn't have been in this situation. It just stinks that you can't even get one of these that falls into a window where more people can show up. This is benefiting to TV, retirees, college students, and people who work from home.
It's still early. The game's not underway, but boy, the upper deck looks a little sparse.
So if you're any of those three, get to the ballpark.
Yeah. Tickets are available.
Yeah.
And you can get out there.
It stinks. Like, I'm sorry. It just stinks. And give one in prime time even. You know, like, it just is so obnoxious that we are in this world where these TV executives saw Yankees Red Sox and immediately started drooling on themselves and licking their chops.
You know the reality of it.
I know, I do.
And it's not the NFL.
I know.
That market size thing, actually, that matters here.
Well, but TV ratings are up all around baseball.
I know, but still.
For this season, Front Office Sports had a big write-up on that. That TV ratings are heading in the right direction. And actually, national ratings heading in the right direction, too.
But think of teams that have the national profile. And you could say that teams with the national profile, more than any others in Major League Baseball, are the other teams playing in the first round here. The Chicago Cubs.
Cubbies are massive.
Yankees. Red Sox.
Yeah.
Dodgers.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're looking for the four highest national profile teams in all of Major League Baseball, give me, there might be another one. You know, the Mets aren't in there with the Yankees. I think those are the four highest profile teams in Major League Baseball.
Friars have become really popular.
Yeah,
the Padres
but
have become popular.
But that's not. But see, you're in a different crowd. They're not a national team and a national following like the Dodgers, Yankees, Cubs, Red Sox.
In a perfect world, you'd probably throw the Braves and the Cardinals in there too.
Yeah,
those would be the other two.
Those would be the other two.
That would fall into
that. I
would
agree with you.
The Padres though, have become pretty big. Like, a lot of people are keeping an eye on them outside of Southern California. Now, some of that is because they've got Yu Darvish, and they've got a Korean player on there as well. So that's, of course, you know, a bigger national brand when it comes to that, or I guess international brand in that regard. But yeah, it just stinks. It's like, dude, give me one. Just give us one.
Yeah, but they weren't going to change that up. All four series have the same starting time for four games. That's just the way it's going to be.
And maybe some of it as well with the Chicago side of it is that they didn't want Padres fans to have 10 a.m. baseball, which, all right, fine.
Can this young rotation rise to the occasion here, Dan? Because I think for this team to win, it has to. I think it can. Slade Ciccone has been really pretty tough all year long. Tanner Bibee's throwing the best he's thrown all season, I think, over the last month. And Gavin Williams has arrived. I think they can pull it off.
100% yes. 100% yes. Gavin Williams has been a buzzsaw for the
last
month.
Hasn't he, though?
Oh, my God.
He's been terrific.
He's what, when we first saw that dude throw, he's what we thought he would be, which is 98 with that 12-6 curveball that is just nasty. And his pitching fantastic on top of it. It's why I actually feel good about this game going in. You've seen Skubal more than other teams. This staff does such a good job with scouting. Again, you were one of the few seeing Justin Verlander, who's got two Cy Young Awards in his back pocket. In fact, he might have three in his back pocket. You were one of the best hitting teams still to this day against Justin Verlander. Why? Because you saw him enough times. I feel the same way with Skubal. Question is, can they... people hitting actually hit the ball past the pitcher's mound.